Today I'm going to be preaching with you from Deuteronomy. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Deuteronomy. I'm going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going to be referencing a lot of different scriptures today. But keep your Bibles open at Deuteronomy chapter 1. The title of today's message is, Let Your Voice Be Heard. Let Your Voice Be Heard. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 13 says this. It says, Choose wise and understanding and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. Today we're going to unlock the secret and see what that means to us today. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we thank you for the many blessings that you've brought to our life this week, Lord. God, we thank you for the successes in surgery, Lord. We thank you for the anniversaries, Lord. We thank you, God, for bringing Sister Terry and Daryl back home, Lord, safe from Colorado, Lord. God, we thank you for so many things that you've done in our life. It's impossible to name them all, Lord. And God, we know that you're still at work in America. We know, God, that you're still making a difference here today. And we know, God, that you want to use us as your hands and your feet, Lord, to go and to live out your will, to be that light in the darkness, to be that salt of the earth, Lord, and to be those that make a difference. God, use us today and help us to understand that, Lord, the America, the family that we're blessed with, God, is going to be the same America that we hand down to our future generations, God. The state of America, we can hand that down to our grandchildren or our children and glorify you. Or we can choose to sit by and watch as America fails, as many other countries have done. Lord, let us not do that today, God. Let us be strong. Let our voices be heard, Lord. And let us proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, you're the answer then, you're the answer now, and God, you're the answer in the future. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us. But we thank you most for giving your life, so that we could someday be in heaven with you. Thank you, Lord, for it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, people get so focused on presidential elections. So focused, they get so excited that there's going to be this new president that's going to make all these changes and the world is going to be different. But in 2 days, we come up to the midterm elections. Yep. And I would say, I believe personally, that the midterm elections are even more important than the presidential elections for the reason that Congress is the people that you elect, the ones that make and pass the laws.
Exactly.
So what we're about to face in just two sweet days, two small days, is the midterm elections of our state officials and of the ones that will represent us in the House of Representatives and Congress. And you say, well, Pastor, that's interesting information to know. But most people, they just want to know who's going to win the battle for Congress. But that's not the question that matters to me. The question that matters to me today is, who do you want to win the battle for Congress? Who do you want to win to be the state representatives? I looked up some recent data from the U.S. Census, and this is from the exit polls in 2016 when Trump and Hillary were running against each other. And we thought so many more people were voting, but you know what they found out in the exit polls? Only 1.5% more people voted in that than they voted in the Romney versus Obama election in 2012. So really, it wasn't a bunch more people out there. Did you know this? 56% of the population voted, but 43.5%, 44%, you could say, didn't vote. So what does that mean? 44% of the people in America don't care about the future? I don't know. Dr. Dobson said it like this. He rebuked Christians before the last election. He says, I think it's a disgrace that half of the Christians in America aren't even registered to vote. And those who are, only half go to the polls. When we withhold our influence and our participation, we yield to default to promote immoral and destructive policies. If we as Christians are supposed to be the salt and the light of the world, the salt and the light of the earth, and God gives us this great country to live in, he gives us this great opportunity to make differences, but yet we sit here and do nothing, are we being good Christians? Are we doing what we're called to do? Doesn't the Bible say faith without works is dead?
Yep.
Well, folks, you have faith. But where are your works? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to get out there to make a difference for our country. When I found this information out, it was funny. Anthony would come over. He came over and he brought over Ariel's 3D sonogram. I got to see that. Awesome. Absolutely beautiful. And I looked over at Anthony. I said, can you believe over 43% of the whole United States doesn't vote? He's like, yeah, I can believe that. He wasn't even shocked. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, that shocks me. I can't believe that. So it leads me to this million-dollar question of why. Why is there 100 million people, about 99 million something, that decide not to vote? Why? And so I did a bunch of research and I found out, well, the largest percentage of non-voting Americans believe that they don't like either candidate that's up for vote. And because they don't like either candidate, they figure, I'm not going to vote. The second largest says, well, it doesn't matter who I vote for. Nothing ever gets done in this country anyway. Well, folks, I don't think you can say that anymore. A lot of things were changed under the Obama administration, for better or for worse. A lot of things are being changed under the Trump administration, for better or for worse.
Yep.
The next group said, well, I don't vote because it doesn't make any difference in my personal life. The problem is there could be no statement that's farther from the truth.
Exactly.
This is a huge problem we have. We're talking about nearly half of our population that's eligible doesn't go out and vote, even though they literally have the power to determine who rules our nation.
Mm-hmm.
2018 needs to be the time that we change that. I believe that every able-bodied American that has that privilege should get out and vote. And if you don't believe that, I hope you change your mind by the end of the message. Because as Christians, I believe we face the responsibility to vote. Not just as citizens, but as people who seek to honor and glorify God in all things.
Amen.
You know, voting's not a new thing. I'm going to read you back in Deuteronomy. You have your Bibles open, I hope, still in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy. Let me tell you something about this. This is before Christ. This is a long time ago. We're talking well over 2,000 years ago. And voting came to place. Let's see what happened here. If you would, look with me starting at verse 9, and I'll read down to probably 15. It says, and I spoke to you at that time, saying, I alone am not able to bear you. Now keep in mind what's happening is this is one of Moses' first speech to all the people that he's focusing on in Israel. And these people are increasing in number. They're growing and they're growing and they're growing. God is blessing them. They're multiplying as numerous as the stars, just like the Lord had promised to Abraham. And so it's getting to a point where Moses, he just can't handle all these people. He can't lead all these people by himself. They have too many problems. It's tough for him. And so he's got to figure out a solution. And so that's where we pick up here in verse 9. It says, and I spoke to you at that time, saying, I alone am not able to bear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of the heaven in the multitude. May the Lord God of the fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, and bless you as he has promised you. He wants them to keep on growing. But look in verse 12, he says, how can I alone bear your problems and your burdens and your complaints? Verse 13 says, choose wise, understanding and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have told us to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and knowledgeable men, and made them heads over you, leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of fifties, leaders of tens, and officers for your tribes. Folks, what we're talking about here today about voting, it's not a new concept. This has been around before any of us or anybody we even knew were alive. And if it was important biblically back then for the church to be involved in politics, it's still important today. Say, well, there's a separation of church and state, Pastor. Well, I'm not up here to tell you who to vote for or what party to choose. That's not my role as a pastor. Right. It's not my job to influence you what to do or who to vote for. I don't care what party you vote for. That's not my job to be able to share. My job is to be able to share with you what would God want you to be able to do and open your eyes to see it from God's perspective instead of our own perspective. Our early polls have been open for a while now.
Yep.
And if you voted, that's great. If you haven't had a chance to vote, you might want to get out there Monday, because Tuesday is going to be a little crazy. It typically is. But we're really blessed. We live in a republic where we can make a difference. And that's important. That's how our founding fathers set up America to be governed. And I'm thankful for that. We have a voice and a vote. We can choose. See, we don't have a place where we're forced to do different things, right? And those are difficult situations. We have a constitution that's the law of the land. We don't live in a monarchy. We don't live in an anarchy. We aren't communists or socialists. So when it comes to our country and our government and our elections, we have the ability to choose who runs it.
Right.
The struggle is many people, they just don't believe their vote is going to make a difference. They say, my one vote isn't going to make a difference. If my wife votes one way and I vote the other, they just cancel each other out, so we're not doing anything. Well, if one person believes that way and the next person believes that way, that's how you get to the 99 million people that don't vote. Other people say, I just don't want to know the issues. I just don't care. I'm going to keep my head in the sand. Let me tell you something, Christians. A lot of people are coming out of the closets, all kinds of groups of people, and the Christians are climbing in the closets and burying our heads. There's something wrong with that.
Exactly.
Everybody else is coming out. We're going in. If we want to change what's going to happen, our one vote, we got to realize it matters. So I thought, boy, I knew I was going to share that with you today. And I thought, I hope it's true. I said, God, point me to something. So I started doing some research. I said, show me where one vote actually made a difference. And here's what I found. In 1800, one vote made Thomas Jefferson president instead of Aaron Burr. Just one vote.
One vote.
In 1845, you Texans, one vote brought Texas into the United States. One vote. In 1850, one vote admitted California and Oregon into the United States. Listen to this heart-wrenching fact. In 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. And in 1876, one vote made Rutherford B. Hayes to be our United States president. And in 2018, your one vote can make the difference on November 6th. In the United States, one vote does matter. One vote is important. Folks, we can make a difference. With that said, we've got to realize the people that we're voting for. They're not perfect. They're not God. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to fall to temptation just like you and I do. And so if you're voting for this person or this party and you think they're going to do the greatest job ever, I truly hope they do. But you got to keep in the back of your mind that they may let you down because they're humans. And we've got to allow some grace for that. We can't just crucify them at the stake because somebody had made a mistake. Think of how many times Jesus has forgiven and helped you. These people that we're voting for, they're real people. They may be big political figures and on TV ads and in brochures everywhere, but you know what? They're a mother or father. They're a child of somebody. They have relatives. They bleed. They get hurt when they fall down. They're human beings. And so we got to remember, no matter who we vote for, they're just humans. They're not God. And you say, well, Pastor, why are you talking to us so much about voting? I thought we were at church. We are at church. But if we want the church to still exist 20 years from now, then we have to be active in our community, active in our society. Because everything that's going to take place affects you, it affects your family, it affects the church and our entire nation. You know, Scripture has a lot of things to say about politics. So I believe they're important. Scripture says this in Romans 13. It says, Christians are to be peaceful and law-abiding citizens. You can read about that in Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. We're to pray for and honor our government leaders. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Matthew 22, 21, you might not like this, but it says we're to pay our taxes. Proverbs 3, 27 says we're to work for the highest good of all people. And you see, that's what our elected officials are supposed to do. They're supposed to work for the highest good of all of us. In 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15, it says we're to submit to those who govern us. So this morning, I want to wrap up our message by just giving you four quick things to empower you and tell you how you can make a difference in the world today. Four quick things that'll make a difference in this election that's just only 2 days away. First thing I want you to remember is that you've been given the right to vote according to the United States Constitution.
Amen, that's right.
And God's word says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. You have a voice and you have a vote. Don't forsake that. Because you know what? People died to give you that right. People like me, people like Larry, people like every one of you that has served in the military, we fought so that you could have that right. Don't waste it. I didn't want to leave my family and die for no reason. And all those other soldiers before me that passed away didn't want to do it for no reason. So let's enjoy the freedoms we have. And let's get out there and vote. Plato, one of the philosophers, he says this: the penalty that good men pay for not being interested in politics is to be governed by men worse than themselves. That's the truth. That's the truth. You know, as a Christian, I've seen people sit and complain about the politics and the law officials all the time. I hear it all the time. They complain about what decisions are made by the mayor, the governor, the senator, the president. But if you don't use your ability to vote, I don't want to hear your complaints. You had the ability to make a difference. You chose not to. So don't come crying to me when something doesn't work out right. We have to be faithful to use the abilities that God has blessed us with to make a difference. And church, we are blessed. We really are. We live in the United States of America. You know what this is? This is the land of baseball, apple pie, hot dogs. I mean, KU basketball. I mean, it's a great place to live, amen? That's a good place. We're not struggling in Afghanistan with civil war and unrest. We don't have to face that. We aren't starving in Sudan for the lack of food, where over 70,000 people have died. Our biggest problem is what to eat, not how much to eat. We aren't searching for hope and meaning like they are in the West Bank or the Gaza Strip. We live in a beautiful place. God has blessed us. We're the leaders of the entire world, America. And it's up to us to be able to make the difference. So remember, you've been given the right to vote. The second thing, as a Christian, you have the responsibility to vote. In Romans 13:1, it says, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And as citizens of this great nation, and as a child of God, we should get involved. Our involvement really will make a difference and an impact. There's plenty of examples in godly history where God's people got involved in politics and made a difference. One of my favorites is in Esther. Esther chapter 1. Esther the queen saved the whole Jewish nation from execution. Tell me God's people don't get involved in politics. Daniel served in the king's court and obeyed God and changed lots. Exodus chapter 5, Moses went before the Pharaoh as God's ambassador. And what did he say? Let my people go. In Genesis chapter 41, the Pharaoh gave Joseph political control of all Egypt. God wants his people to be empowered. He wants his people to make a difference. So many times Christians say, how can I make a difference? I'm not really comfortable witnessing to people. I don't really want to go do this or that. I don't want to help with a food drive. I don't want to feed homeless people. I don't want to do all these things. But I do want to make a difference. Here's a way you can make a difference. Embrace it. The third thing is, we have the responsibility to pray for and support our leaders. We got to pray for all the politicians, the ones we like, and especially the ones we don't like. Paul teaches us in 1 Timothy 2:1-2, he says this: I urge then, first of all, that all requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. You see, the deciding vote in any election may not be the one you cast at the ballot, but it may be the one you cast on your knees in your secret prayer closet. We can make a difference. Proverbs 21:1 tells us the king's heart, substitute the king here for the mayor's heart, the governor's heart, the president's heart, is at the hand of the Lord, and he directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. In other words, God has the power to be able to direct these people, both good people you think and bad people, to be able to do the will of God. But it's not just up to the leaders. You want America to be a better place. The Bible says it really starts with you. It doesn't start with the leaders, it starts with you. Here's some convicting scripture. 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. If my people, you Christians, me included, who are called by my name, by the name of Jesus, will humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. So if we'll do that, if we'll humble ourselves, if we'll pray, if we'll seek God's face and we'll turn from our wicked ways, listen to what God will do. He says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive your sin and I will heal your land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. You know one of the problems America has? Pride. Pride. We want to go everywhere. We want to stick our chest out. You don't understand. I'm American. Boy, I went on a mission trip to Mexico and there was a guy with us. He was a proud American. I am too. But you know, you respect the other people's laws when you're in their country. They can't do anything to me. I'm an American. Buddy, they will lock you up into the Mexican prison and throw away the key and we'll never see you again. No, they won't, because I'm an American. That doesn't matter down here, pal. When I went to Japan, I was trying to learn all their cultures. And instead of trying to stick my chest out and wear the American flag everywhere I went, I tried to respect their country and what they stand for and what they believe. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to humble ourselves. But what we do is we have all this pride. And pride cometh before the fall. And the fall is coming. So the scripture is important. It says we got to humble ourselves. We've got to get right with God. We need to become a praying nation again. I don't know if you noticed, but America's not the country it was in the 20s, 30s, 40s, or 50s. We're getting further away from God, amen? And that's not a thing to be proud of. You know the difference? Lots of them. But one of the big differences, we stopped becoming a praying nation. It was incredible encouraging to me when one of the things Ronnie and Connie were doing to strengthen their relationship were praying together every day before they left their house. And if they forgot, they would stop and pray. We need to take prayer that serious today. We need to pray with our husbands and wives. We need to pray with our children. We need to pray when we wake up. We need to bless our meals. We have so many things to pray for. We need to pray that God will prick the consciences of the nation on these issues of morality and righteousness. We got to pray that this election would lead to even greater opportunities to be able to share the gospel of Christ. You know, in some places, they're trying to ban communication from Christians. Mm-hmm. They're taking away the internet from Christians, putting up firewalls. If you proclaim to be a Christ in some countries, they're blocking your ability to get on the internet because they don't want you sharing Christ with anybody. They're blocking people on counts like I've heard in other countries and Twitter. So far I've heard that. I don't know if it's true. I haven't done the research yet. But that's what I've heard in Twitter, Snapchat, and some other text communication programs that I don't even know about. They're trying to stop Christians from being able to share with one another. If you don't think that time is coming in America, you're wrong. And so the time is now for us to pray for these things. We got to pray for our public figures. Next time you feel like condemning one of them, whether you support them or not, instead of praying for them, you feel like condemning them, think about their mom or a dad, and they have to deal with the same struggles that you have to deal with, plus all the other struggles of what to do in the United States or whatever office they serve. They need more prayer than they need condemnation. And the Bible says we're supposed to support them. My fourth and final point of this morning is we have a reason to vote. If you don't want to vote for any other reason I shared today, listen to what Proverbs 29:2 says. When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. Sounds good. But when the wicked are in power, they groan. Does that not make perfect sense, right? When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, they groan. It makes sense. And so, think about this. These past 4 years, with our Congress set up the way it is, our House of Representatives and our Senate and our state officers, have you been rejoicing? Or have you been groaning? That in itself should be a reason to get out there and vote. Remember, we're Christian citizens first and American citizens second. You may live in this beautiful United States of America for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. But you're going to live in heaven for an eternity. And so we should elect those people whose beliefs and morals and values come closest to the Word of God. It's not about party. It's not about personality or promises. It's about character. It's about integrity. It's about truthfulness and uprightness. The reason we vote is to create an atmosphere that'll be wonderful, that honors the nation of God. However, the mindset of a lot of people today is, I'm going to vote for whatever benefits me. Whatever benefits me right now. This guy is offering tax reductions. We've got to get him in Kansas. That's good. How is he getting those tax reductions? Well, he's taking a bunch of money from schools, and he's robbing the old people, and he's increasing the prescription costs. Who cares about all those people? He's decreasing my taxes. I'm voting for that guy or gal. We got to remember, it's not about what we want. And let me tell you this. It's not the government's responsibility to provide you a job. It's not the government's duty to provide us health care. It's not the government's obligation to give us prescription drugs. It's not the government's job to give me a house, to give me an education, or even a retirement check. My friends, that's communism and socialism. The government's job is to keep us safe and to allow us to work hard, study hard, and reach that star, whatever it may be, that you want to achieve in your life. That's what the land of the free and the home of the brave is all about. So I want to share one more thought and I close. With Election Day here, our great country stands at a divide. It's been this way for years. You know it. This isn't a new thing. It was this way in the Obama era. It was this way in the Trump era. And it's going to continue to be this way. Unless those 99 million people get out there and let their voice be heard. Our country really is almost 50-50. If you look at how the election went with Trump and Clinton, if you look at how the election went with Romney and Obama, everything is really divided. And what that does is that hurts everyone. Nobody's a winner. The election that we're going to happen, I think, is more important than the presidential election. You may disagree with that. But it's because these are the people that vote in the laws, make the laws, and the people ultimately that handle the money of the United States. Mm-hmm. This election is not just going to decide who sits in office, but it's going to largely dictate the future America that we hand to our kids. Hanging in the balance are the seats in the Congress and the Senate. You know that. Hanging in the balance is the constitutional right to religious liberty, the sanctity of human life, the ongoing battle of parental rights, and a lot of other biblical and moral issues. So please, do yourself a favor. Educate yourself on what that person you're going to vote for stands for. I know back in the old days, and probably still some today, vote the same way their parents voted. You know what I mean? My dad's a Republican, so am I. My mom's a Democrat, and I believe the same way she believes. Well, what do you believe about the Democratic Party? I don't know. My mom voted for him. She's a good woman. I mean, that's what we do. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, whatever your thing is, you just do, go down the list. You don't have any idea about any of those people. So what I'm telling you, do some research. Figure out what you believe and why. And remember, like I told you today, one, you have a constitutional right to vote. Two, you have a responsibility as a Christian and American citizen to vote. Three, you have an honor and a duty to pray for and support all of our leaders, whether yours wins or not. And four, you have a reason to vote. because you care about the world you live in and the world you're going to hand down to our future generations. The vote we cast this election is going to determine what kind of country we have. So this November 6th, don't sit idly by on your couch saying, I wonder what's going to happen. Get out there and be part of the change. Be part of the change. It's time for us as Christians to get in the game. God called us to be the light and the salt. And that's what we have to do. So the time is now to let your voice be heard. In the back, when you leave services today, you'll find the sample ballot for Lyon County. You can print it out on any legal website. I printed it out so that you could look at it and you could see. Here's the things that you're going to be voting on. I vote in Greenwood County. But you'll see what you're going to be voting on, who the people are. So you can do a little research. There's also another Freedom for Life Foundation that sent me a voter's guide that's in the back there. And feel free to pick that up. Again, I'm not influencing you to do anything, but to get out there and use the U.S. constitutional right to go and vote, because I'm going to live in this world. My kids are going to live in this world. So are yours. And so are our grandkids, unless God comes first. And I want to hand them a better America than the one I received. Amen. Let's stand and bow and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, God, for our country. And Lord, as our congregation is standing today, God, I just ask that everyone who is able and wants to come pray for our country, come to the altars, come up to these front pews and pray for the country, Lord. God, we need to humble ourselves. We need to seek your face. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. God, we got to come up here and we need to pray for the people, whether we like them or not, that doesn't matter. Your word says that we need to pray for them. Help us to remember that they're moms or dads just like we are, that they're husbands or wives just like we are, that they're kids just like we are. They're people, Lord, that breathe and bleed and go through trials and tribulations. So, Lord, help us to be able to vote for them and to be able to pray for them and not to tear them down, but to be able to support them like you tell us to, Lord. God, help us to pray for our city officials like our mayor, Lord, our police and our fire departments and our hospital staff and our EMS people. Help us to pray for them, Lord. Help us to pray for our judges and our city council, Lord. God, we have all kinds of officials in our state that need prayers, like our governor and the state senators and representatives, all those people in leadership positions. And God, we know our nation needs prayer. Pray for our president, Lord. Whether we support him or not, it's important, God, like your word says, that we pray for him, Lord. And so, God, help us pray for President Trump. Help us to pray for his cabinet members and all the people in the Supreme Court and in the House and in the Senate. Lord God, we want to make a difference. And you've given us a country. You've given us a forum to be able to make the difference. Now it's up to us. If anybody would like to come forward and pray for the America that we're going to have, come forward and pray at this time. God. God, we want our country to be a place that glorifies you. And God, we live in a country that glorifies you, God. So Lord, I believe we can turn that around, Lord. There may be people in these ballots, Lord, that we don't agree with. Neither one clearly follows your leading. Lord, help us to decide what we should do. God, I want to make a difference. I want this country to be a better place for my kids and my grandkids. I'd love for it to be a place where the kids can go outside and ride their bikes and be safe, Lord. And families wouldn't be shot all the time in schools and churches and public places. God, that we could handle our differences like men and women talking to each other, Lord. Thank you.